Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on February 25th of 2021, I am Michael.
And I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the anime stuff we've been watching, some of which is actually on Toonami. So we have some news. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, or if you're listening to this sometime in the far future and have no context, there's been, because of all of those electricity, the power outages that have been going on in Texas recently because of the cold, they've fallen behind in the dubbing of Attack on Titan. So there's going to be, I think, a 2-week period where they'll be putting on some reruns so they can catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're getting a new episode this week. I think it's a week after that where it goes on hiatus for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
All right. So, well, we'll deal with that when it happens. Reminds me of that line from Futurama where Bender says, "It's the worst kind of catastrophe, the kind that affects me."
Mm.
Okay, so with that said about Attack on Titan, we move on to Attack on Titan. Convenient.
Okay.
So here we have episode 66. So basically, we're having one big fight between, well, all the previous, all the main characters and the new main characters that we've basically spent most of this season with so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the main characters now? I don't even know. Is anyone a main character? Are we main characters? Anyway, with that, so basically, the long and the short of it is that the main characters for the first three seasons seem to be gaining up. Eren, Mikasa, the rest seem to be gaining, really doing well. They managed to take out the Beast Titan guy, the Cart Titan. Yeah, that was it. And also, I can't remember, did they beat the Jaw Titan guy? I know Eren used his jaw to crack that crystal. But I can't remember if they actually beat him or if they were still fighting him at the end. Well, they did something to him. And then they've got a way to get out through an blimp? Yeah. Oh, also, Eren manages to take the power of the Warhammer Titan because the person who was using that used the same thing Annie did back in season one, where they seal themselves in a crystal, which can't be broken normally. So Eren just grabs the kind of defeated Jaw Titan person, just literally just grabs their head, puts the teeth around the crystal, and just pushes on them so that the teeth, which apparently I guess are super powerful. I mean, it is called the Jaw Titan.
Mm-hmm.
It manages to break through that, and then Eren, well, just eats that person and now has the power of the Warhammer Titan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out why exactly Eren is being edited like this villain whenever he was, you know, the main character for all these episodes, and now all of a sudden, they're kind of making out like he's the villain, and I can't disagree with them on it. He seems kind of cruel, but it's difficult to pick sides in this whole battle because it feels like, Eren. We should be cheering for him, but we're not. So. It's just very confusing.
I think in retrospect, this was why they spent quite a bit of time with us not seeing anything of the main characters and just focusing on these mostly new characters. I mean, we knew Zeke and Reiner, and I guess we saw a peek of the Cart Titan before, but she didn't know do anything. I mean, it wasn't until now that we even saw her human form. But I think the point of that was to try to get you more attached to them so that when this happens, the audience will be a little more uncertain about whose side they should necessarily be on. I mean, not at least a little more conflicted. Which works a lot better, again, when you're watching it as a weekly anime instead of a monthly manga series.
Yeah.
I think the problem, well, I mean, I guess monthly manga kind of has this as an issue in general, but I don't know. I never really felt like back when I was reading comics, the like comic books and stuff, mostly Sonic the Hedgehog, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Archie, Sonic the Hedgehog. But because that got canceled due to, it's a very long story, but mm-hmm. And I usually never didn't feel like I was waiting this much for stuff, but I think it's really the pacing, because the monthly comic series in the U.S. seem to have faster pacing than most of the monthly manga series, even though there's fewer pages in them per chapter. It's I don't know. Attack on Titan just seems to have it's so many of the monthly series seems to be paced the same way as a weekly series. And I, in terms of how much happens, you know, per page, but since you're getting half of the content per month, a monthly series, manga series usually are about twice the length in terms of chapters as a weekly, it feels so much more slower. But when you're getting it all in quick succession like this, it reads much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, but I've been the one talking about, did you have any additional thoughts on the episode?
No, not really. Just my confusion over why Aaron is acting so villainous all of a sudden. Like it doesn't really make much sense to me. It's kind of like the way things went downhill with the Hunger Games. Like the first 2.5 books were great, and then the final half of the third book, you know, we get this thing where basically they try to make it out that just taking part in war is evil. Doesn't matter even if you're fighting a war for good purposes. It doesn't matter. And I think that's what brought down the quality of the third Hunger Games book and the subsequent movie. So that's kind of the way I feel about this. It's like they're trying so hard to make me feel like, okay, maybe Aaron Yeager isn't that good a guy after all, but that's after having 3 seasons of, you know, him being the main guy, the guy we're supposed to cheer for. So that isn't a good idea, but that's what they're doing. So, yeah.
There is one thing that I came to a realization upon in this episode. And that was, I was just thinking, man, this in the last few episodes, you know, once we've got all the big Titan battles and all this stuff going on, that was really cool. And the second part of the third season was a lot of people's favorite part of the series. You know, when they're trying to recapture the stuff and they're dealing with all those Titans and the Beast Titan and such. And, you know, the politics arc was one that people didn't really like. And I thought about it, and I just realized something. Attack on Titan is at its best when it's a mech show.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's kind of a mech show, isn't it? You have the giant, instead of giant robots, you've got giant Titans.
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean by that. I'm not sure, though, that... I guess I can see what you mean.
It's when it's basically focusing on that sort of stuff with, you know, the giant, well, Titans rather than, you know, the giant robot stuff on Gundam fighting each other. I don't know. It just seems to always be when the series is at its most interesting to me when you're doing that. So it really does feel like a mech show some of the mm-hmm. time, and those are usually the parts where it's at the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we have Assassination Classroom episode 22. So so essentially Nagisa and what's his name, bad guy, are going up against each other, and well, to skip ahead, Nagisa manages to beat him. So then they find and he manages, which is kind of impressive because he comes up with, because he's able to use this technique that only works under the specific circumstances, which coincidentally happened to line up right here. What was it? It has to be someone who's an experienced combatant. It has to be someone who's faced death before, and you have to be have two weapons. And it's just like, well, okay, the last one is easy enough, but what are the odds that you come with the first two? Oh, well, I guess you got lucky.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It actually was a kind of cool trick, though, to essentially, the idea was to briefly distract the guy by dropping your weapon, then just making this big clap noise in front of them to just, you know, completely knock them off guard and then beat them. So they managed to do that, and then, well, you don't have to worry about, and then to deal with the whole, oh, the kids are poisoned and are dying thing, it turns out, oh, no, the guys who were working for what's his name weren't that bad, and just made it be, and just swapped it out for food, for something that gives you food poisoning instead. They'll be fine.
Yeah, that whole thing about, oh, you really weren't poisoned in the first place, that was like, that felt a little cheap to me. Like, we're supposed to take this seriously, and then at the end it's like, oh, you know, they were never in danger from the first place. And that, see, I don't like that. I mean, if you're going to build up something, you need to have some sort of stakes. Like what it kind of reminds me of what we're watching with Dragon Ball Super, because as we know, you know, this isn't a spoiler because it's already aired, but we know that at the end, all the other universes get whisked back. So it's like nothing happened in the first place. And that's kind of the way it feels with this. It's like, oh, we got to save everyone so they don't get this virus. And then at the end, it's like, oh, you really didn't have it. And I just don't like that.
Well, I'd say that the thing about Dragon Ball Super, at least, is that the reason everyone gets brought back is because Android, is he 16 or 17 or 18? I can never remember what the numbers are. I think he's 17, but yeah. He like, for the, because the winner gets to make a wish, and he just wishes, oh, everyone to come back. Which is good, because it turns out that the Zenus were planning their plan was that if the winning person didn't make that wish, they just wiped them out, too. Because the whole thing was to try to show that the strongest universe was moral, or I don't know. But the point is, at least there was something that the characters actually did in order to bring that about. Although it brings up the question of, well, if that was on the table, why didn't they just contact all the other universes and say, hey, why don't we all just agree that we'll wish everyone back?
It's like the prisoner's dilemma or something.
So that was Assassination Classroom. So that's the end of the first season. There have been, I believe, zero deaths in the series called Assassination Classroom.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. We haven't had a single character die yet. All these people are trained assassins. Maybe they are a really sucky class. Like they always say, oh, Class E sucks. And it's like, well, yeah, they do, because they haven't been able to assassinate anyone. So, I don't know. First season of this. Well, for one thing, all this time I've been thinking that Assassination Classroom had already aired on Adult Swim, and it turned out I've been thinking of Dead Man Wonderland for some reason. That show aired a long time back, and I didn't watch it, but that's what I thought was I confused the titles. And so I thought Assassination Classroom, oh, this already aired a long time ago, and, you know, it's all old hat and all that. But as it turns out, it isn't. So, I mean, I'm going to watch the second season once they put it on, and they're going to, you know. But I am disappointed because the Mach 20 joke got stale pretty early for me. And then this part at the end where, like, there was, like, a convenient way of taking Kuro-sensei out of the picture just so he couldn't step in. And, I think the best part of Assassination Classroom really has been the humor aspects of it. I know the Mach 20 thing, that got old, but there is still a lot of good humor to it, and especially anything that had to do with Nagisa being a girl. That's always funny stuff. And, So overall, I don't know. I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10 on my anime list. But I am known to be a harsh reviewer. So there's only 4 series I've ever given a 10 to. And this show was pretty good, but not as good as I'd hoped.
If I remember correctly, I think there's only been one series that I've given a 10 to, well, anime on my anime list, but I could be wrong. But that was of course Bobo. But I don't think I gave a 10 to anything else, but I can't remember. I can't even remember what my account or name was. I haven't done it for a while. I should go back and maybe rate some more stuff, but no, I looked at it recently, but I can't remember what I put for things. Well, anyway, so yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Dead Man Wonderland, because that was a series I liked a whole lot less in Assassination Classroom. It was kind of the opposite, because Assassination Classroom is basically a comedy with some action and dramatic bits, whereas Dead Man Wonderland was, you know, all dark and gritty and stuff. I don't think I'd suggest it, because, well, I think I lost some interest in it. The setup is kind of dumb, but... and then I kind of lost some interest. The anime, you know, if I remember correctly, it's one of those ones that doesn't really have an ending. It's a, hey, go read the manga ending. But then I've seen some people say that the ending of the manga was really bad, so...
Yeah, I think that was like right in the time period right before we started the podcast. I think it was like I was watching Bleach, but then you watched that and this so-called Pattern Sins or something.
I like only watched, I think, one or two episodes of that and got pretty bored.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember that was on after Bleach, and I was always like, okay, I'm going to bed. Because we did live blog just Bleach back in the day.
I'm checking to see when the thing aired. I think it was before, even before we made the podcast we had before this one.
Right.
if anyone doesn't know, we had this other podcast, but due to technical problems, the whole thing kind of got deleted. So we started this new podcast, and now you don't have to listen to all our much weaker commentary back then. But I remember because we were doing that. I know we started doing Michiko and Hachin somewhat early into that, which was, you know, your favorite show.
Yeah.
But Michiko and Hachin aired in 2015, and Dead Man Wonderland was 2012. Was that even before they officially brought Toonami back? Wasn't that back when it was just, I feel like that was back when it was just Adult Swim and they were still anime.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So we wouldn't have even had an idea for the podcast then. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just double checking. Oh, wow. It looks like Dead Man Wonderland, when Toonami came back, it was one of the shows that premiered with it.
Oh, okay.
It was one of its first shows there. Now, granted, when Toonami came back, I mean, they already had anime and they were just still doing it, but, you know, they were giving more attention to it and stuff, so, but that was what they had then. So, yeah, that would have been back then, and then it was a few years later we did that original one. I can't remember exactly when we did it, but, yeah, it was after Dead Man Wonderland.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back to Assassination Class, real quick. I enjoyed it overall. I didn't like it as much as the manga. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just some things, the pacing. The thing about an anime is you always have to actually take the stuff. Things that, you know, you look at for just a few seconds in a manga, you suddenly have to make last longer to actually put it in anime, which can often slow down pacings. Although, then you have stuff like JoJo, which it crammed so many chapters into each episode. It's kind of crazy. I remember looking at something like this, like for a lot of shows, I was looking at them like, okay, so how far are you in the manga by the fourth or the fifth episode? And, you know, a bunch of them are like, okay, we're like, you know, maybe like 10 or 11. JoJo was like some crazy high number. I can't remember, but anyway, That's actually JoJo is a series I enjoy more animated than in manga, but maybe it's because I saw the anime first. Maybe it's just a matter of, oh, well, you liked the one that you were exposed to first.
Yeah, so I read it's Stone Ocean. That's what comes next.
That's the next one, but they haven't announced any anime adaptation. There's been no announcement for an anime yet. Usually there's, I don't know, about, in past episode seasons, I think there's been about a year separation between them. So it's going to be a while before they even announce it. So we're going to have to wait a bit for that. But that will be interesting. I've heard some positive things about it, although I've heard the ending also was kind of controversial.
Well, pretty much none of the JoJo endings have been very good. So, yeah, I can't think of one that I was like, oh, that was a good ending.
You didn't like the ending of part three when Jotaro went up against Dio? I thought that was pretty good.
No, I thought Dio, like, didn't really die or something at the end, and then they kind of like left us hanging in part of it. Yeah.
Dio died at the end of part three. He was killed. Are you thinking about that brief gag where Joseph briefly pretends to be Dio, and then when Jotaro is about to kill him, Joseph's like, no, it was just a joke. It was just a joke.
I can't remember. So, yeah.
I'm thinking about, okay, so part one, well, it's so confusing because the first two parts are in the first season, but with Jonathan, that didn't have a particularly great ending. The final battle felt kind of rushed, and then it's like, oh, well, and then all this stuff happens, but and that led into the second one with Joseph. That had an okay ending where he goes up against Cars and beats him.
Well, I'm not saying the ending battle. I'm saying the last episode.
Okay. Well, wasn't the ending wasn't the last episode of that also the final battle, though? I can't remember. I know, I'm pretty sure that was the case for the last episode of Part 3, though. There was the battle against Dio, and they managed to win that time. Let's see, Part 4 did not have, I thought, a particularly great ending. I wasn't big on the final battle. Part 5 was, yeah, that wasn't that great of an ending either. But Part 3, I thought, had a very... Stardust Crusaders. I should just be referring to them as that way. I thought that had a pretty strong ending.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Okay, so we've done that. Then we get to... Let's see. That was Assassination Classroom. Yep. Looking forward to the next season. Maybe someone will actually die. So then we have... Black Clover episode 138. So, John Young Bosch comes across this kid, and yeah, it's a distinctive voice, but he comes across this kid who's being bullied and by nobles, because this is Black Clover and the nobles are always mean to peasants. it's done so often.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he kind of helped the kid out in some ways, but then one of the noble kids tells his father. So he takes something from his father, this weapon thing, that ends up backfiring on himself, so he just drops and runs off. But then he tells his father that the peasant kid stole it, and he then... So... And then Zora's like, no, that's not what happened. By the way, both of you are really, I don't like either of you. You both kind of suck. And then just makes them leave. And then he tells the kid, well, I am not doing a good job explaining all of this. this is a problem when it comes to sort of inconsequential filler stuff. But he says, hey, you can be a magic knight. He's like, yay.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I forgot that I didn't see this. I just realized that we didn't stay up for this one. So, yeah, I missed this episode.
Okay, you didn't really miss.
Yeah, it doesn't too sound much. Like much.
It was. I mean, it mostly focused on Zora, a character I don't think you even really know, because his big introduction arc you didn't see, and then when you came back to the show, he hadn't really gotten much focus from that point onward. So, that means you didn't get my Johnny Young Bosch joke.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, so there was basically that. So it was. I mean. It's semi-filler. This is basically filler. I have to, like, even if they say, oh, well, this covers stuff that happened during a time skip, you can say that for maybe the previous episode had some level of importance, but not really this one so much.
Yeah, whereas, like, Bleach filler, it is so incongruent with everything else that it's impossible for what happened in Bleach filler to have occurred in the real storyline.
I remember there was, I can't remember which arc it was. It wasn't the Bound arc. It was one after it. But I remember it's in the middle of the Hueco Mundo arc. And, you know, the characters are all off in Hueco Mundo and they're fighting house. And then it's for this filler thing. But now we turn our focus back to the Soul Society. And then initially it seems, okay, this is just random stuff they're doing. But then Ichigo and the other main characters show up midway through. And the whole, like, Hueco Mundo thing is totally forgotten about.
Man, which one was that? Was that the one where their Zanpakutos turned on them?
It might have been that, or maybe it was the one with the temporary captain guy, the one that I think was taking Aizen's place, but then because it's filler, he got killed.
Right, yeah.
I can't remember. Or was it... Yeah, I think that was that, because the one with the princess character, that I think had Ichigo and friends right away. So I think it was the one with the captain.
Weren't they the same thing? The third captain and the princess? That was the same thing?
Were they? I thought they were separate.
No, I thought they were the same thing.
Okay, time to look up a question that the audience probably doesn't care about, but I need to know. But I'm just going to glance through it. But yeah, I remember that. The problem is Bleach arcs were so long. It's without any real opportunities for breaks. They're really...
Yeah. I have confirmed that those are the same arc. The new captain Susuke Amagai arc is when that princess was... met. So yeah.
Okay. I think that was probably the one that I'm thinking of, because that's the one that I think happens in about this area of it. I think that's it. So yeah, and then if I remember correctly, then the other characters just go into it, because again they had to have them somehow, I guess, even if it doesn't mesh in continuity. And Dragon Ball, I mean, they just did a bunch of I feel like Dragon Ball Z only had one actual, like, true filler arc. They had a bunch of filler episodes, but there's only one real arc they had. The rest of it was just a bunch of, like, random stuff that, you know, like, oh, well, they're on Namek, and one of the Dragon Balls got dropped into the water, and Bulma has to go in and get it because of from a monster that was in the water. You know, stuff like that. Or Goku's in a ship, and he's traveling to Namek, but there's a problem, and he has to go outside the ship to fix it. Just stuff like, just one-off episodes like that, except they had a lot of them. Well... Bleach also, Dragon Ball Z also did the technique of let's slow things down. I just remember what I kept noticing. What would always, when I was watching it as a kid, I was always wondering, okay, so why do characters always do this? One character fires a blast at them, and then the character runs away from the blast. But instead of moving to the side, they just move away, and then it overtakes them. And it never happened in Kai, because I guess that was filler. Mm-hmm. Or padding. So, anyway. Oh, no, I guess Ichigo and friends do show up right in the second episode of that new captain arc. So, they made the first episode look like, maybe they just made the first episode look like it was going to be a meanwhile in the Soul Society, but the next episode, nope, it's just some other time. There isn't any point where this could plausibly work. At least they made the Bound arc fit in canon.
Yeah, the Bound arc did fit, whereas one last thing about Bleach before we go back to normal stuff. I just have to say, we criticized the Bound arc at the time, but man, it ended up being like so much better than anything else that came after it.
Its biggest problem was its length. If it had been half the length, it would have been a lot better. That's the problem. It just went on for so long. It was honestly, by filler standards, not that bad. It was just the length that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. But like I said, the problem with Bleach is that the Hueco Mundo thing was so long, there was just no way. You couldn't really put stuff, real filler arcs, in there. That's the problem. The Bound just happened between arcs, and it was basically the perfect place to do it. All they had to do was say... the only finagling they had to do was just come up with this Quincy artifact so Uryu can get his powers back before he, you know, gets them actually back permanently.
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
All right. So that was the Toonami stuff. So, all right. So we'll move on to Yashahime, episode 20. So we get a flashback from Setsuna, which was about how she, when she was younger, she was taken in by this special village for half-demon kids like her, and it was protected by someone who had this special barrier, and I think that character might have been in the original Inuyasha, but I can't remember anything about it.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember either.
Well, there's... they have that, and but then, of course, when that person, like Shiori, that was her name, something like that, she doesn't have the barrier, so Setsuna has to fight some monsters off, and then she just, you know, on the applicable time of the month when that happens, he just goes over there to fight off any enemies that try to attack it. And, yeah, that was the episode.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be an interesting episode, and it turned out not to be the case. It just kind of was okay, you know. I wish that they had incorporated Miroku more into the episode, but it was just kind of...
Oh, yeah, he was in the episode. I forgot.
Yeah.
he appeared in the flashback. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I'm still waiting to find out where Shippo is. I mean, he hasn't even been mentioned. And we're, 20 episodes into this thing? Like... what happened to him, you know?
Honestly, I mean, it was good that we got a little more backstory on Setsuna. It's just, unfortunately, it does kind of feel like we didn't get that much. But I don't know. I saw a bunch of people that seemed to really like the episode. So it at least it didn't feel like complete filler.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was amused by the fact that the enemy, I mean, it obviously sounded different in Japanese, but I just find it funny that their name was Lord Gaga. And it just made me think, oh, so it's the male version of Lady Gaga? Okay, so yeah, didn't have that much else to say about it. All right, then we've got Ghost in the Shell, episode 47. So, Kuze manages to get out... manages to escape. It's a little weird that he's able to apparently not be hurt much by Bato's gun, but when they're punching each other, they can inflict damage? So he manages to get out with apparently the plutonium. So he and his group just go off to do stuff. But then he finds out that it wasn't actually plutonium, but is just deciding to bluff like he does have it. And then other than that... yeah, that was mostly the episode. He does get attacked, and for some reason I'm blanking on exactly what happens after that. I know he fires back, but does he get away, or why am I blanking on this? I can't believe I forgot how the episode ends. When
Ship was getting blasted, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like going to sink the ship, and then he was firing back, and yeah, so... yeah, and they didn't want to
But what was the outcome of that fight? That's what I'm trying to remember. Or did it end midway through it and that was a cliffhanger?
Yeah, I don't think it ended because, remember, they didn't want to blow up the plutonium, so...
Okay. All right. Yeah. In that case, the reason I'm probably having trouble remembering is because there wasn't an outcome. That's where the cliffhanger was.
I don't remember an outcome to it, so I think it was kind of left open for interpretation for the next episode. And how many do we have left?
I think we have four. One, two, three, four, five. So, well, outside of the fact that I couldn't remember that bit, maybe because I watched... Normally, this is a show that I watched more recently before we record, but this one was a while ago, so of course my memory's getting worse on it. Well, I mean, for the first time, I was actually kind of interested in Kuzey.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it would have been better if we had gotten that, like, big flashback episode about him at this point, now that I actually have some investment in him.
Yeah, I don't understand what the whole refugee thing is all about.
There was some kind of war or something, and a bunch of people came to Japan, and they're the refugees, and that's kind of causing some problems, because a bunch of people don't like being as many of them are as are around and such. You know, you kind of like, it's ironic because this was actually, when they were re-airing this on Adult Swim, it was actually super topical because there's all that, those Syrian refugees that were going to Europe. And people were noticing, wow, this is actually really topical right now. Not when it originally aired, but when it was re-airing on Toonami.
I see.
So that was that's my understanding. What was going on there? You had all those refugees from something in the backstory. I think it was a war or something, and that was causing some problems for Japan. Okay, so then we have ReZero episode 46. So this episode starts out with Subaru going with Garfield and. Otto, that was his name. And they're going to go to the house and save people. And you think, oh boy, we're going to finally get back into this. Well, maybe in the last few minutes of the episode, most of it is devoted to Roswell having lengthy conversations with Amelia and Ram.
Yeah, really long conversations.
But once we get past all of the conversations in which, honestly, the only really important thing I can think of is the fact that Ram reveals now she has Puck. Puck is helping her now when she's about to apparently fight against Roswell. That was kind of cool. But once we get past that, they manage to make it back to the mansion. Elsa, I might have commented on this before, but wow, her outfit is really impractical. But she's trying to kill, I can't remember, the little girl who is protected by, I can't believe I'm forgetting everyone's name. I haven't seen them for a while.
Frederica,
that's it. For some reason, I was thinking it was Patricia. Frederica, who fights, but then Garfield bursts in and helps her out and is going to go up against Elsa while with these special sort of shield weapon things he's got, and Subaru goes and finds Beatrice, and Otto is I have no idea, he's probably just off doing something and then he'll pop in at a convenient time.
You forgot the most important part of the episode was the revelation that Garfield and Frederica are siblings.
I thought we already knew that.
We did?
Yeah. what we didn't know was that... Yeah, that was mentioned before. What we didn't know is that Garfield was actually only... He was actually half human or some... And his one of his parents... The way the sanctuary thing worked was that if one of your... parents was human, then you could let pass through it, I think. And it turned, and everyone thought, oh, well, he isn't. But then it turns out, oh, no, he is half human, so he can get out. And Super's like, that would have been useful to know before.
Yeah, my biggest problem with this is that you know that once stuff like this starts happening, then there's no chance of, we have to find another save point. Maybe this is the save point for Subaru, and then he's going to have to do some stuff. That's kind of, I don't know what makes this so different, you know, so we'll see.
What I thought was kind of weird was, so Elsa is there and Garfield pops in and helps out the character whose name, Frederica, was that it?
Yeah.
Right. And then there's this weird part, because I need to stress this part. Elsa is very close to both of them. So when Garfield sees Frederica, we get this weird comedy moment where he's like seeing how tall she is. So he completely turns his back on the murderous assassin that's practically next to him to like just be completely shocked by Frederica's height. And he's going, what? Aren't you? You're my sister? You seem more like a big brother. And then Frederica is annoyed and kicks him away. Again, in the same direction that Elsa is. Well, they're lucky that Elsa just decided, well, I know the way anime works. I'll just stand here for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you consider, it's funny, but the scene does not make sense in the context of what's going on.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But I mean, it was still funny. I just wish maybe it had given a slightly better explanation. Like, I don't know, maybe Elsa was a little farther away, or maybe Garfield didn't completely turn around or something. I don't know. That might be a bit of a nitpick. The bigger problem is the fact that we have so many lengthy conversations with Roswell.
Yeah, that was the problem with this episode.
Especially the one he has with Emilia. I don't see the point of that one at all. At least when he and Ram talked a bunch later, we got some important stuff, like him saying, and I don't know if Ram knew this or if we were supposed to know it. I think I saw someone say this was something that wasn't previously stated in the anime, but might have been in the light novel, which was so he says that he destroyed their village. He was one of the ones who destroyed their village, but apparently what it was supposed to mean, the phrase was supposed to mean, was that he just let it get destroyed. So I don't know exactly what that worked out. It was just kind of weird to suddenly bring that in. But hey, Ram is with Puck. That was kind of nice. But yeah, when you get down to it, that was the only big thing I thought that happened in that lengthy middle part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been all these times when I've been thinking, okay, now we're finally actually going to get to having stuff happen. And this episode put it off, but the ending, I'm pretty sure at this point, things are actually going to be happening. We've got, what, maybe 4 or 5 episodes left. We're going to be getting our climax now, I assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... So I am looking forward to the next episode, but again, for several episodes now, I've been looking forward to the next episode because I'm thinking, okay, now we're finally going to be getting back to stuff. That's... The problem, I think, with this arc, I saw someone mention this and I kind of had to say it because it seems a pretty apt description. This arc, this season, has felt like a side quest.
Yeah, really has. I was really into that whole Royal Selection arc, and that's why I've been so disappointed with this second season, because I thought it had a great arc, had some great characters. It was really interesting, and then they kind of got away from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is weird. I guess you can say, and I saw this, a mention, you know, review of the first season, which is that it kind of feels like every arc, it's not that it had nothing to do with the previous ones, it's just that at the end of each arc, you would have no real idea what's going to happen next. And not in terms of, like, you know, suspense. It's just the fact that each one is just like, well, now the story is going in this direction now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the Royal Selection stuff, I don't think that was really mentioned much before. But then it's like, okay, it's all about the Royal Selection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see, was there anything else I wanted to say? No, okay, well, that was basically it for ReZero then. I'm trying to remember. I think I remember reading a little about the next arc. I mean, I didn't see much about it, but it did look like the next one would actually get back to the whole Royal Selection thing.
Okay.
And maybe we'll... And maybe we'll find out how it actually works.
Yeah. By the way, my phone's kind of dying here, so we can't take too much longer.
Okay.
So just letting you know.
Can you plug it in or?
No, not from where I'm at right now.
Okay. Okay. So we'll try to. About how much time do we have?
I don't know. It's just on 10%. So.
Okay. Yeah. So. So we'll move quickly on to That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, episode 31.
Yeah, so I screwed up again, and I watched last week's episode for some reason, because I didn't seem to remember it that well, and then I watched this week's episode, so I watched two episodes this week. So if I confuse the two, that's the reason. But basically, Rimuru is kind of going at it with that one character, and then he gives away the mask to one of the students, and let's see, and they're... finally have some opposition that's actually dangerous. So it feels like there's some real conflict there. And that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah. So in the most recent episode, I think the reaction I was supposed to be having to seeing, you know, all the destruction and the deaths and the fact they've, you know, been decimated and stuff, I think the reaction I was supposed to have was, oh no, this is terrible. Things took such a depressing and serious turn. How are they going to deal with this? My actual reaction was, oh, finally, they lost at something. Well, that and also that escalated quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the big thing there. Rimuru, I mean, even Rimuru. Rimuru didn't actually win the battle. He had to basically trick his opponent into thinking he was dead, and so that he could get away. So again, he actually didn't win. So
yeah,
and it wasn't even like with Melian where he used his wits to not technically win, but still make her join up with him. Here it was a case where he couldn't. He didn't even have that. He just had to basically make the opponent go away and then escape. So that was good to see. I am actually a little more interested now that we're actually, it looks like the characters might actually be in for a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got on that episode.
All right. So, and that's it. We can move on to our final rankings then.
Yeah. So my number three ranking will go to ReZero, and number two will go to Slime, and number one will be Food Wars. Yeah, I'm cheating again because I finished up the third season of Food Wars today, and while the end of the season wasn't quite on par with the rest of it, it's still really, really good. The season, all of it, is really good, and it's definitely going to be fun to rewatch once they air it on Toonami. I just think it was a really it took a turn that I didn't expect it was going to ever take, and whenever it did that, everything seemed to just become more interesting. So I'm looking forward to getting to review that every week with you.
What turn are you referring to? If it's like too much of a spoiler, you don't want to say it on the podcast, that's okay. Just like a vague thing so I would recognize it maybe.
I am your father.
Okay. Oh, that? Okay. I thought you were waiting, because I thought you were past that point already when you were talking to me. Or are you saying the thing that happened
overall?
Earlier? Okay.
No, yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about something that happened later. All right. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll give mine. So, well, I unfortunately don't have the luxury of being able to cheat. So I could, and I didn't even watch the newest episode of World Trigger, so I can't say that either. I haven't seen yet, but so, all right. So third place for me, I would say, yeah, I'll say that time I got reincarnated as a slime. And then for second place, despite all of my complaints, I did ultimately still like some parts of, well, hang on, let me actually just reevaluate this briefly. I was going to give it to ReZero, but now I'm suddenly rethinking. Okay, redo. We're going to ReZero this out. Restart. Okay, so for third place, I'll put that time I got reincarnated as a slime. Then in second place, despite some of the maybe criticism I made, I still did enjoy the Assassination Classroom episode. And then in first place, I'll put Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Assassination Classroom would have made it in if I was playing by the rules. So, so it can technically, you know, if it's like the Olympics where, you know, afterward they disqualify someone for using steroids, so then that means that Assassination Classroom moves up onto the podium for a bronze medal.
All right, so that's been our shows for we'll be back next week for Food Wars, which will be replacing Assassination Classroom. We don't know when Assassination Classroom will be back, but yeah, we'll be back for Food Wars. And yeah, I've got nothing else to say. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.